This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Join the show here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And I want to say thank you to the good folks in our Odyssey chat room for keeping me informed. I would have had no idea that the screen was frozen on our cams because I'm not actually watching. It's like the monitor is behind me. I don't know, Chris, if you ever look over there, but I fixed the problem already, but the screen was, like, you were just kind of looking up in the air permanently and not moving at all, so it's been fixed now. Thank
definitely
you.
Don't want my ugly mug up there.
Thank you to the person who is normally quite a critic, but I appreciate the heads up on that. You can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. We have a lot of different features there. They are free for you. And it's thanks to good people like the people over at the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization who are backing up this show. Dash is one of our sponsors. In fact, they are essentially an hour-long sponsor here. They lock in the exclusive sponsorship for this hour. Dash is digital cash. It is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. You'll find a lot of people at places like the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which we've been discussing, that accept Dash as payment for various different services. I know Bonnie had purchased, I think it was tea from the Liberty stand that was there at Porkfest. Very, very popular place. She used Dash to make that payment. And Dash has a bunch of cool things that you can do, but primarily you can spend it. That is the main reason to get into Dash. If you are like a lot of us on this show and you value the idea of cryptocurrency to actually use it instead of to just look at it or think about it or hold on to it and study it. Now, the idea, at least according to Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper, he or she or whoever that person is released in 2009 about Bitcoin, is peer-to-peer digital cash. And that is why Dash has kept to that vision for so long. In fact, they are one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. And they've got some great features that make them, in my opinion, undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. Because from a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their Chainlocks technology. So there's no need to wait for confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete. It's great for merchants. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get, and it's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks, by the way, to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month. To promote Dash on the air, you can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. So we're talking about the Free State Project here, reading from what is ultimately a hit piece by a group called Granite State Matters, and just kind of, tearing it apart bit by bit, seeing what they got wrong and what they got right about the Free State Project, which for listeners that don't know is what, Chris? How do you define the Free State Project?
Oh, so it's an effort to move 20,000 people to New Hampshire with the goal of working towards creating a society that is free, basically.
Liberty in our lifetime, yeah. Hopefully. Although I think they wiped the 20,000 number away at some point in the recent years. You can't find it on their website, but that was the original goal. They did reach that goal. They did find 20,000 people who were willing to pledge together, essentially saying, if 19,999 other people are willing to move to New Hampshire for more freedom, to get active for freedom in our lifetime, then I am too. That was essentially what the pledge was, or that they would work towards the maximum role of government being the lowest something or other. I don't remember what it was.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have the quote memorized, but there is it is actually something that is handy to quote every once in a while.
It was the protection of life, liberty, and property.
Yeah.
That was what the maximum role of government should be. So they reached that 20,000 goal. That was actually back in 2016. And that's what we were just talking about, is like why it took so long. Because they'd hit the 5,000. The first 5,000 came within 2 years. And then they held the vote. So the plan was, once they hit 5,000, they were going to have a vote. And the numbers were just coming in like crazy. I remember at that time, it was very exciting. And then the vote happened, and it just fell right off a cliff. The recruiting numbers just went down to next to zero. And it was very, very, very slow going. I guess there was a lot of excitement about the vote, right? Like, there might have been a lot of people that were in favor of one state or another or whatever. And then as soon as New Hampshire was chosen, which it won overwhelmingly, it wasn't like it was some close call or whatever. New Hampshire blew the other states out of the water. So you would think that it wouldn't have really dampened the excitement so much. But for whatever reason, the excitement just kind of just went away. And it took another 13 years from that point to get the extra 15,000 signers to reach that 20,000 goal, which then did what they call trigger the move, even though we were moving before that.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've always felt like the people who are... How do I say it? The people who I feel like deserve a ton of credit was all the people who moved before the 20,000 number was reached.
Yeah, I think there's a couple thousand people that moved before then.
Yeah, I mean, I just give those people so much credit because
they really did lay an important groundwork.
Yeah, people. I mean, without those people, it's like, okay, it's easy to sign a pledge, but is anybody actually going to move?
A lot of people would never have come. I agree with you because there would have been nothing to come to.
I certainly wouldn't have moved. I mean, well, why move for something that, you know, is just
a theoretical thing.
They proved, those people who moved early proved that, it's a real thing. It can work.
And it, exactly.
It was working before the 20,000 reached. And I moved technically just, I was probably the first mover post the 20,000 signatures being reached, because I already had a house that I had to wait a month and a half to close on my house.
Okay. So, and they hit the number while you were waiting on the closure, basically.
Yeah, it was like the day after or something. Wow. Like, or it was so close to basically them hitting 20,000 is. Yeah,
it seems fair. I'll let you claim that one, Chris. That's a good one to claim.
I mean, I technically don't know if there was somebody else who also happened to move that same day or that couple of days, but you know, it wasn't like there were. There's a lot of people moving, but it's like what I think it was probably 200-300 a year at that point. So
yeah, I don't even know.
It wouldn't be surprising if we were the first.
I bet you it would be less than 200 a year.
Yeah. So there's a really good chance that. We may have been the first movers post.
Recently, those numbers have gone up quite a bit. There was over 1,000, I think it was 1,100 movers in 2021.
Wow.
And 600 in 2022.
Wow.
Record numbers.
I know. I knew that they had been record numbers of movers. Like, we keep hitting new records like every year since I basically moved, I think.
Well, it went down in 2022.
Oh,
so it hit a new record in 2021, which was 1,100. And that was more than like most of the last decade combined.
Right.
And that was due to COVID, because people got they finally got it through their heads that there's a real problem out there with the government and that something needed to be done. And they said to themselves, oh, there is that Free State Project thing. Maybe I should take this seriously. And a lot of them did. And I would have loved it to have been 1,500 in 2022, but it went down to 600 according to the speech that Jeremy Kaufman gave at the Liberty Forum this year. But still, 600 is nothing to be ashamed of. That's, you know, almost two people per day.
Twice what it was, you know, probably back when, I mean, around the time I moved, so.
Yep. All right. So let me continue here. This is more from the hit piece over at the Granite State Matters email list this is where this got sent out to. Free Staters became realtors, stylists, lawyers, crypto dealers, and most of all, politicians. They found that some New Hampshire residents and legislators also shared their views. Together, these formed the Liberty Alliance, and they're referring to the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance at nhliberty.org, I believe. They do some really awesome work. We've talked a lot about them over the years. They rate the state reps. They give them a report card basically every single year. I think they also rate the state senators, and they judge them based on how they vote on certain liberty key issues. And so those are very, very useful things. They also rate the bills. So when the bills get filed. There's a few dozen volunteers for the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance that actually try to read all 800 to 1,000 bills every single year. It's an incredible Herculean task that you have to be, you really have to love reading legalese.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how Zeppin does it.
Zeppin's the number one guy. He's like number one by far.
Oh, is he? But I didn't know he was number one. I just knew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is the interesting thing, too. Like, you know, people don't have to necessarily be politicians. And the other thing is, you get to talk to and meet these people like Zeppin. Like, he's not somebody who's impossible to meet, but he also has a huge influence on, you know, the reps here. So there's definitely things you can do that don't involve, even outside of New Hampshire, even if you haven't moved yet, you can get involved.
That's a great point. The New Hampshire Liberty Alliance would be happy to have anyone who loves freedom, who wants to help what we're doing here, work on reading and rating these bills. Because Zeppin can't do it all.
No.
And the rest of the people combined, I don't even think, hit the number that Zeppin does. So he comes close, but it's a lot of work. So anyway, they have another group called the House Freedom Caucus. These are state representatives who have formed a caucus called the House Freedom Caucus. There's also, they don't mention this here, but there's also a Nullification Caucus that got formed, I believe, this year. The many Free Staters have successfully attained local offices as well. On social media and at the annual Pork Fest event, newcomers or soon-to-be movers are advised to join library boards and other volunteer positions that builds name recognition before they run for higher office. That's all true. That's pretty accurate. Next section is called Pretending to Be Republicans. Like many other extremists, Free State Project candidates often hide their true affiliation. Ballots for local office in New Hampshire do not list party. What they're referring to there is like mayor or city council or town selectman. Those are nonpartisan elections. If you're running for a state rep, then that does list your party.
It's so disingenuous, though, to say that just in general, given that the Democrats and Republicans have teamed up against third-party candidates in order to keep them off the ballot.
Yeah.
And they do that through basically making third-party candidates jump through extra hoops by gathering signatures that the Democrats and Republicans don't have together.
That's right.
So if they want to fix that problem, all they really have to do is, you know, work together to change the law to eliminate that. And then, you know, people would be able to run as something other than Democrat and Republican.
They would, although I don't think that would change a whole lot. I'm in favor of it. I think that they should make ballot access equal for smaller parties like the Libertarian Party or the Green Party or whatever. I do support that reform. First of all, the Democrats and Republicans are not going to do that because they don't want the competition. But if it did happen, I've been at the State House. I've testified in favor of bills that would do that, those things. And they inevitably get shot down. But even if it did happen, I think that it wouldn't really change things very much. I think what you would see is more libertarians would run because it would be easier to run.
Sure.
But I still think you'd see most Free Staters running
as libertarians, As libertarians, you mean?
What do you mean?
Run, because you can run as a libertarian now.
Yeah, but it's difficult.
It's difficult.
I'm saying more would likely run because it would be easier.
As libertarians?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think you'd see most Free Staters still running as Republicans and Democrats because libertarians still don't have a chance. Like, they don't get as much attention in the media. You know, even if they're on the ballot, they're not as likely to get the same level of validity by sort of the mainstream.
It's true. They have worked to keep us out of even New Hampshire, well, especially, I guess, New Hampshire politics.
Yeah,
we get more coverage outside the state, I think, sometimes than inside the state.
We being Libertarian Party people, you mean? Because the Free Staters get a ton of coverage here in the state. We get news all the time.
I guess I would have to frame that a bit.
Libertarian, not so much. So when Jeremy Kaufman was running,
I guess that's what I would say.
For U.S. Senate, which is a relatively visible seat, right? Like, it's a pretty big race. He was pretty much ignored by the mainstream media. He did get a little bit here and there. Like, libertarians do get, I think, more here than elsewhere. I feel like the WMUR, which is the sort of one broadcast TV station they have here, they did do a profile on Jeremy Kaufman when he ran, so that was cool, but I don't think they invited him to the debate.
No, they didn't invite him to the debate because we went out and protested it.
That's right. So, like, you know, he got something, but he didn't get fair treatment.
Right, right.
So that's why I think you would still see most Free Staters running in the main two parties, because if you can get through the primary as a Democrat or a Republican, and if you're in a Democrat or Republican area, you're going to win.
Yeah.
You know? And so, anyway, let's continue here. So they say that they hide their true affiliation. By the year 2000, Free Staters and their Free Staters and their native counterparts in the Liberty Alliance controlled the New Hampshire House Republicans. I think they mean 2020, because the year 2000 the Free State Project hadn't even been conceptualized yet. They called their combined group the House Freedom Caucus with help of the fellow anarcho-libertarian education commissioner Frank Edelblue. They started defunding public education. What?
Yeah, that's news to me.
No, they didn't. What she's referring to, the author here of this piece, a lot of the people on the left are flipping out about what are called education freedom accounts. So what happened was I think it was like 2021. It's relatively new. It came up during the whole COVID thing. They passed some law that allows certain parents, you have to be below a certain level of poverty, as I understand it, but it allows those people to receive essentially a check from the government for the purpose of sending their kids to some other school besides the government school, or doing homeschooling or an unschooling program or whatever at home. So it doesn't have to be that you have to go to a private school, but obviously some people are using it for that purpose. And the idea is to get people and their kids out of these government schools. And it's been very, very successful. But it hasn't, quote-unquote, defunded the public education. I mean, there's still plenty of money there for public education. They're still taxing us. So I guess from one perspective, you could say, okay, that's true in that every kid that is no longer in the government schools and is going to a private school technically could result in a smaller budget for those schools, but ultimately that's still up to the voters.
That's not what defunding is, though. Defunding would be like cutting the budget altogether.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately up to the voters in the individual areas.
At best, it reduced the budget of these schools by a hair.
And I don't even think that's happened, because, again, that's not done at the state level for the government schools. That's done mostly at the local level. And so if people want to keep increasing the budget for the schools, even though they're losing students, they can do that.
Interesting.
And that sucks, but they can do that.
I believe that's actually happening, isn't it?
Like, that's what happened in Croydon, yeah, where they were going to cut the budget by 50%, and then the statists rallied the troops, and they got all these government-loving people to go vote and increase the budget.
Hmm.
So, anyway, going on. The Freedom Caucus was assisted by the Free State Project board member, Greg Moore, who serves as state director for Americans for Prosperity with Koch funding. AFP knocked on doors and sent postcards to New Hampshire voters encouraging them to sign up for subsidies from the EFA school voucher program. Deputy director of the AFP New Hampshire spoke at Porkfest, probably soliciting canvassers at their rate of $22 per hour. Well, why would they speculate about that? Why wouldn't they just go and actually watch the speech so they would know exactly what he said? So they're just speculating on what he said. And yes, they are hiring people for AFP. And AFP it's kind of a Republican-y organization. I mean, they're good on some liberty issues.
What does AFP stand for?
Americans for Prosperity.
Oh, them, okay.
Yeah, they're kind of pro-liberty on some things,
yeah,
but they kind of seem to lean a little bit Republican-y. But if you want to get a job going door-to-door knocking on people's doors, they'll pay you $22 an hour to do that. Like, that's something bad? Democrats do that stuff all the time. Why criticize that? Anyway, going on, it says the Free State Project was on a roll.
Double standards.
But the press was about to reveal their work. Two other Porkfest speakers, Jody and Ian Underwood, decided to put Free State Project theory to practice in Croydon, which you just mentioned. Croydon selectman Ian Underwood voted to dissolve the police department. Any law enforcement now requires a call to state police. Then, they also have county cops, by the way. During a poorly attended meeting in a snowstorm, school board chair Jody Underwood and her husband convinced a handful of residents to cut the school budget in half. Before we go on with that, I just want to talk about the town dissolving the police department. This has happened in multiple towns. Okay, this wasn't just a Free State Project thing in Croydon.
Mm.
This has happened elsewhere. It happened where Mark used to live here in the town next to Keene called Westmoreland. And that is not a Free Stater-dominated town in any way, shape, or form. The reason why these things happen is the townspeople are skinflints. Like, they are thrifty people in a lot of ways. And somebody says, look, we don't have any crime in this town. Why do we have this cop? Yeah.
You know, and it gets even more interesting, I think, because if you look at how things were, I think in the 1920s, New Hampshire didn't have a state police until the 1920s.
Ooh.
So we had police that were hired by the cities,
okay,
but not the state. And now it's sort of flipping. We're kind of going in reverse, where we've got cities that are saying, "Hey, why do we need the city police when you know we've got the state police that can cover?"
Well, it's the county police. I mean, they're wrong about
county police, right?
Yeah, they're wrong in this article. People aren't calling the state police. You can call the sheriffs, and they're closer to you than like the state police. And I agree, abolish the town cops and also abolish the state police. I mean, it'd be nice to see
sure.
them all go, but if the best case scenario is we can cut out the higher and the lower level of the police, then I think that's a win. But
yeah, I mean,
we haven't seen the proposals to abolish the
state
police.
If you look at, you know, what these guys are doing for the most part, they're not making us any safer. They're not investigating
murders. They're pulling people over and they're arresting drug users.
Yeah, they're not investigating murders and, you know,
there hardly are murders in New Hampshire.
We don't even have that many, right? And yet we have this huge police force. It's one of the negatives of New Hampshire is we have a very large police force in New Hampshire law enforcement.
Yeah, and it's not because there's a lot of cops in New Hampshire that there are no murders. It's because New Hampshire just doesn't have violent crime, likely because we have some freedom to defend ourselves here.
Yeah. It would be a big mistake to try to burglarize somebody in New Hampshire.
Which is why these small towns are getting rid of their police departments, because it's like, we'll shoot you if you come into our homes.
Yeah. It was actually humorous. I believe it was a Massachusetts FBI agent. I think it was connected to the Crypto 6 one when they raided.
Mm-hmm.
Said something to the effect of, "They've got an arsenal in here." And then like somebody else said, "Yeah, every other house in America." Every other house in New Hampshire by this standard has an arsenal.
Right. So then they point out that the angry townspeople in Croydon forced a referendum and overturned the decision to cut the school budget, but not before national press featured the story. Not long after, two anarcho-capitalists newly appointed to the Gunstock Area Ski Commission, this is a government-owned ski mountain called Gunstock, tried to cut its budget, despite it making record profits for the county. The frustrated management team walked out en masse. The popular resort closed. More negative national press resulted. The failed attempt of some Freedom Caucus members to secede from the United States that spring did not help the Free State Project's image either. Well, actually, it did help us, as a matter of fact. It helped quite a bit because we got new movers here in New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project because of the effort to secede from the United States, and hopefully that is going to happen again in the upcoming session for the state rep. It also resulted in publicity that was very, very useful, like the new the NBC documentary series that NBC Boston made, which you can go to nbcboston.com/freestate. You can watch it. It's an 11-part documentary. It's excellent. And they said when they were interviewed about why they made the documentary that it was the secession bill that made them decide that this is worth looking at. This is worth doing some sort of reporting on. So it was a big help. There's more coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. The first price tag for the DOJ's investigation of former President Trump has been released. The first release of public accounting shows Special Counsel Jack Smith has spent more than $9 million since his appointment to head the investigation. The Justice Department has indicted Trump on 37 counts related to classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago and is investigating the former president's alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. A dangerous new TikTok challenge led to the deaths of four people in Alabama. Officials say the trend is called boat jumping and involves people of all ages launching themselves off a moving boat.
The four that we responded to, when they jumped off of the boat, they literally broke their neck.
Rescue squad Captain Jim Dennis said it's frustrating because the deaths were preventable. Dave Collins, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Here in the studio tonight, and you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Join us online as well over at freetalklive.com. Many features await you there. They're completely free. Once again, freetalklive.com. We've been sharing from the most recent hit piece posted by a group called Granite State Matters. And I guess this went out to their email list, but somehow somebody caught wind of it. And it's one of those things where even though it went out to an email list, there's like a online web version that you can look at. So that's how I've got it here. And they're just trotting out a lot of claims about the Free State Project. Some of them well-researched, some of them completely wrong. So that's what we're doing. We're just kind of correcting the record here as we go through it. But first, let's go to the phones here. We got Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Brother Chris, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, you know, it's funny. This is kind of related almost to last night's call. This is referring to the show on July 3rd. Now, I had another topic in mind, but I tuned in. I'm listening. You guys are pumping it with secession and talking about it. So I automatically...
Yeah, it was Independence Eve. On July 3rd.
That's so, yeah, right. You shocked me. I thought that'd be the Independence Day, but it was E. So what happened is I changed my topic on the fly, and I did. I was the first caller, in fact. I was excited. I talked about secession, but Here's the thing. Now, what happened that night, unlike last night, all the regulars were there. Now, this all applies to them except for Bonnie's mom. She doesn't count in this. See, all of them, plus any other callers, one, and you guys kept pumping it even after I was on for quite a while. But you ultimately gave up because there wasn't one peep out of everybody about secession. Now, here's my observation, and I have something to say about one particular caller. Now, here's the problem. Why nobody say anything? Well, 180 stations, cross-country, and who knows who's listening? That's the problem I encounter in life in general.
People, what are you trying to say? I feel like you kind of lost the plot here.
What it comes down to. I'll give an example. I mean, here's one caller, in fact, and I'm going to put forth a challenge to this caller. Now, I mentioned a caller last night, and I'm going to give you some examples here. Now, I'm not somebody the wind just blew in. I didn't just come 6 months ago. That regardless. This caller, I've heard every single call, and every call is the same call. There's always a lame joke and a lame story. I'll give you an example of a story. It goes like this. Well, I was walking along the lake one day, and I met amongst a man. And I stood there, and I saw, you know, the smallest, wee, bittiest little thing I ever saw. And I stood there, and I couldn't help but stare, you know, as he played with his little thing. And then another man came by, and he stared with me. He stared with me.
Okay.
As he played with his thing. And then he put his penknife back in his pocket. That's the kind of lame stories. And factoids, what's either.
So are you trying to just start a beef with another caller?
Well,
is that what you're doing here?
Here's what it comes down to. Big Bad Major Payne, he talks a lot and says very little. But the one thing he didn't talk about, and here's where the challenge is. He never talks about anything that stimulates my intellect or anything of any kind of real substance. Secession is...
Well, I disagree with you on this, Ricky. I think Major Payne is generally pretty entertaining. He's got a lot of really good stories. He frequently calls on topic. I mean, you've been calling a lot about other callers, and I don't think that's particularly interesting.
Only for one thing. Not one caller had one word to say about Secession.
They're not obligated to. It's an open phone show.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, you're calling in rambling about another caller right now, which is the same thing you did last night. I mean, why don't you call about something else?
Well, okay. Well, I guess it isn't that important.
It's not like I'm going to ban Major Payne because you don't like him. So ultimately,
I'm not looking to ban him.
Okay.
I want to hear.
What do you think? You're going to change him? You think you're going
to
make him a different man?
And talk about something important.
Well, he does call on topic in a lot of cases.
Why don't you bring up something as important as opposed to expecting other callers to bring something important?
Yeah.
I talked about Secession just on the 3rd.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what about tonight?
Yeah, you seem to be calling a lot about what happened in the past, and we've told you this before.
Well, I didn't have time. You know, I mean, sometimes I got to pick my phone calls. You know,
you call literally every night. I mean, you have more time on the air than the average caller to this radio program, and most of the time you've spent it complaining about other people calling in and things that have happened in the past. And I think what Chris is pointing out here is spot on. Is that
talked about Secession? What are your thoughts on that? I know they're not obligated, but there were a lot of callers, including all these regulars. They talk about everything, but despite anything, not one peep except for myself about Secession.
Well, congratulations, Ricky. You called about Secession. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. What do we think about Secession? Obviously, we're in favor of it. I think I can speak for you on that one, Chris, because we come to the
100%.
Same conclusion, I think, on that particular issue. And New Hampshire needs some work. You know, we need a lot of work. There needs to be more freedom-loving people here who should come here as part of the Free State Project, or not as part of the Free State Project. If you don't like joining things, just move.
Yeah.
And get active. If Secession is your jam, if you're interested in that particular issue, then there's some great organizations that you can help out, like the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. There's also the newer organization, the New Hampshire IPAC, that is the New Hampshire Independence PAC, Political Action Committee, that is raising money to give to candidates who support independence, whether they are currently in office or whether they want to get into office. That's a relatively new organization. It just started up within the last year, and so they could use some more support. They could use some more, like, monthly contributors, you know, $10 a month, that kind of thing. Goes a long way if a bunch of people do it. And this is another area that you can help out, even if you haven't moved to New Hampshire yet. If you just like what's happening here, if you like the freedom movement, but now you're locked into your career or you're locked into a family or something, you can't leave for whatever reason to move here, put some money into the Free State Project movement. Put some money into the organizations. And I don't mean give to necessarily the Free State Project. You can give to them if you want to. But giving or to the organizations that actually do the activism in New Hampshire, like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. I mentioned them earlier, nhliberty.org. That's a great organization. I think they're probably the most effective one out there as far as the political scene is concerned, as far as liberty in the political scene. But the secessionist groups as well, like NHIPAC.org, I think is their site. And then the New Hampshire Independence Group, the that name just went right out of my head, Ollie's Group, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, another great group that's been doing some really great outreach. So find the things that you think are really cool that are going on in New Hampshire, and you can back them up by volunteering remotely or even contributing to what they do. So to come back to the attack piece from Granite State Matters, they were talking about we're in a segment here in this attack piece where they're touting the victories against the Free State Project. This is the thing that they like to do because, you know, as though we're going to have all wins.
I really want to hear what they think is a victory against the Free State Project. You know, it's
overturning Croydon.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. You know,
that was a victory for them.
Absolutely. I feel like that is sort of a victory, I guess, for them. But, like, I always feel like the question that you have to ask is, why are we doing some of the things we're doing? Like, because it's I feel like often it's more about the publicity. Like, I can't really speak for other people, but I feel like I do stuff because of the publicity, because it drives more people here. It doesn't really matter whether we're successful, like, quote-unquote, in whatever that particular thing is. If it gets publicity, it brings more people here,
sure,
which actually has an impact later down the line.
And I think so.
And a lot of what I think we're still at a point where a lot of the importance of doing stuff is to get more people here, because we don't have our numbers in New Hampshire. Yes, we might have a disproportionate impact on the state already relative to our population, but we still have a ways to go we're going to have, like, you know, real control over the state, even if the Democrats think that we're in control of the Republican Party.
Obviously, I mean, we're not. The Free Staters are not in control of the Republican Party. Otherwise, the Republicans would be supporting secession.
Right.
Right.
We're certainly making major progress, but we're still, a big part of what we're doing is trying to get more people to come so we actually can eventually have a libertarian state, if not an independent country.
That's true, and I'm not saying there isn't, like, a positive way to spin the Croydon thing, but it would have looked better if we'd have gotten the 50% cut of the budget and it had stuck.
But if you listen to, like,
they overturned that.
If you listen
to, they did win that one.
You're right, I think, to some degree. But if you look at what the Underwood said, they never thought it was going to occur in the first place. He kind of went in, you know, without really any substantial planning. It was sort of let me throw this out there and see what happens.
Yeah, and if so. And then it got reversed.
Right.
And the people that love big government, the people that love the state, they love wearing this one as a badge of honor. Like, ha ha, we showed the Free Staters, we reversed. Now, of course, when you dig into that and you start learning more about how they did it, you start learning that they were dishonest with people.
Sure.
That they went door to door. They had money come in from the outside, like the NEA,
the opposition
union.
You're talking about.
Yeah,
it, right?
Okay. The people that love the government that wanted to overturn the reduction in the school budget. It was a 50% reduction in the school budget. They got it overturned, but the way they did it was, of course, not honest, as I understand it. So the National Education Association, which is the teachers' union, apparently gave a bunch of money to have an organization created about save our kids, or, you know, whatever it was called, something, some heart-tugging kind of name like that, right? And then they went around door to door, and they, I don't know what the exact pitch was, but as I understand it, they were not fully honest with the people that they spoke with, and they misrepresented likely what was going on in order to get people to turn out and vote to increase the school budget.
So, you know,
and they succeeded.
One of the things I think that people don't really understand about, like, teachers' unions and things of this nature is they're not fighting for education. They're fighting for their own interests.
The bureaucrats. They're fighting for the paychecks of the bureaucrats.
Right, right. They're fighting for what the teachers, you know, or the union feels is in their members' best interest. And in this particular case, you know, there are things that you get with government jobs, that teachers get, that nobody else gets. And And, you know, examples of this are things like benefits, right? They don't have 401ks like most of the world, or I should say most of the world, but most companies, right, mm-hmm. These days, they have, pensions. And the pensions are actually better than the 401ks. Yeah, substantially better. So, you know, these are the types of things that they're fighting to keep that they probably shouldn't have been given in the first place.
Right. Undoing that is a real challenge.
Right, right. And if you look at the amount of success that the unionization of government, especially teachers and workers, has had, especially in the teaching sector, it's significant. I'm trying to think if I can recall the numbers. I think it was something like 20 times, like between, like, I forget what year, but it was like somewhere in the 1960s and like what teachers are paid today.
Oh, yeah.
In New Hampshire, it was, I think in like the Croydon example, it was something like 20 times more.
A lot faster than,
and that's
inflation,
at,
right?
That, right. And that's, at, but hold on. That's taking an account, that's taking account of inflation. So they'd be getting paid, I don't even know what it would be, but it would be like 1/20th or something like that. And I don't think that's a perfectly accurate analogy because I don't think the I forget why, but there was a reason it's not a perfect analogy. But basically the point is that mm-hmm. it's substantially better in terms of the
paying $20,000 per student in New Hampshire to quote unquote educate.
Yes. Yes.
Which is a ton of money. It's way more than even some private schools.
Yeah. It's something like if we were paying the same as we were in the 1960s, it would be like, you know, with inflation taken into account, it would be like $2,000 a student.
Wow.
Like wow. But if you
and
think
I bet
about
they were
it,
getting better results in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And of course, I bet the benefits, there probably weren't any of the benefits either. But if you mm-hmm. think about it for a moment, let's say you have a class of 20 students and you times that by $2,000, you know, dollars a student, mm-hmm. you know, that's still enough money to pay a teacher to teach.
Sure,
and
yes,
a
yes.
lot of the costs of the, you know, government education is in all of the administration right. and all these other things.
The bureaucrats, the secretaries, yeah. the doctors, doctorates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of things that they didn't do and didn't have in the 60s, but kids still got an education.
Yeah, exactly. So this was a win for the status. They get to pat themselves on the back. And the thing is, they're acting like, ha, we've defeated the free staters and they're done for. Now the voters have woken up. In fact, that's what they say here in the next statement. They say voters across the state began to realize that the Free State Project's extremist rhetoric was more than talk. Free State Project founder Sorens lost a local election to the Amherst Planning Board. Free Staters and Liberty Alliance members lost their dominance in the Republican caucus. Republicans nearly lost the majority. But the thing they're leaving out is that more Free Staters were elected last year mm-hmm. than ever before. So this whole narrative that the voters are going to stop the Free Staters, there's yep. not really any evidence for
and
that.
Not only that, but we got our first senator, I do believe. Is that,
correct.
I believe I'm correct on that
the
one.
First Free Stater senator.
Unless
yeah.
it's been like 2 years since
nope.
then.
Nope,
I'm thinking about which session it was. Nope. But yeah,
was
yeah. So
Keith Murphy from Murphy's Tap Room. Who's a very successful Free Stater businessman who's opened multiple restaurants that are, you know, highly acclaimed. So, it is not over in any way, shape, or form. They have not received their total victory that they seem to believe that they're going to be receiving. But let's continue. So the next section is entitled Lying Low Till Enough People Move Here. After last November's elections, according to House members, Majority Leader and Free State Project member Jason Osborne instructed the House Freedom Caucus to keep a low profile. They should wait until future sessions when they have the numbers they need to slash state government to the anti-democratic and narco-capitalist form that they desire. And it is worth pointing out Jason Osborne is indeed a Free State Project early mover. He used to be a sponsor here on Free Talk Live in our earliest days. Before he even moved to New Hampshire, he was a sponsor of the show for SACL CAI, which was his business at the time. And he did indeed make it to House Majority Leader, which is a pretty big position. This is essentially the second most powerful position in the state house. I'm critical of Jason on some of the things that he's done. For instance, he didn't back secession. He has been acting more like a Republican than a Libertarian. And one theory is that he is still a voluntarist or an anarcho-capitalist or whatever the terminology he would have used 10 years ago. He's still that same Jason Osborne, but he's hiding. He's acting like a Republican in order to make it to the position that he's in, because the argument would be that had he acted like a Libertarian, he never would have become the majority House leader. So he has to kind of couch his terms in Republican jargon or whatever, right? And this goes back to what the haters in this article are pointing out. And I think they are right to some extent when they say that some free staters are hiding their true beliefs. And I think that's probably true. Otherwise, the other story is, which is what, if you believe, apparently Jason has said. Now, he has not said this to me directly, so this is hearsay. But what he has allegedly said is that he's no longer an anarcho-capitalist. He was at one time, but now he's a true Republican and blah, blah, blah.
What's his voting record like in recent years? Have we looked at this?
We'd have to look at the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance.
I am curious.
Yeah, I suspect he's an A-rated rep, but that's a great question.
Yeah,
I don't know, and
not only that, but has it changed, right?
Mm-hmm. Has it gotten worse?
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, has it gotten worse or has it remained the same?
Good question. I think that he's still doing good work in general, but he's not as liberty oriented as I would want him to be. But then again, the argument is if he had been, he wouldn't be the House Majority Leader.
Sure.
So, you know, he's going to do him, and we're going to do what we do. And so I have a real appreciation for any state reps that do not hide who they truly are, like Matt Santanastasso, who is the 100% highest-rated Liberty rep in the State House, according to the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance in their last rankings that they did. He is not afraid to take pro-liberty positions on every issue, every time, because he doesn't care if he doesn't get reelected. And a lot of these people are concerned with that, so they water their positions down. And I think that's unfortunate. I think people should be more honest about what they are or who they, you know, what they believe when they're running for these offices. That said, I can't come down too hard on people who hide their viewpoint, because politics is a dirty, dirty game.
Yeah.
And people will play dirty, and it gets really ugly. So, you know, if you're willing to do that, which is to say, act as though you don't really believe in order to get into those positions, personally, I disagree with it, but I can understand why they do it.
Yeah, I've taken classes like that kind of teach you how the game works. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting, and it's... Like, what people don't understand is that there are professionals who will basically teach politicians to be politicians.
Yeah.
And in the process.
Gross.
Yeah, right. But in the process, one of the things that they teach you is they coach you on how to not answer questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is something that I think a lot of people kind of have heard of.
Have you ever asked a politician a question?
Yeah.
Then you know.
And a good example of this, actually, I think, is probably what happened with RFK at Porkfest, actually, mm-hmm. when he gave the speech and he was questioned on secession.
He dodged it, right?
He dodged the question. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's I don't think that happens quite as much as in New Hampshire with a lot of, especially with a lot of our more liberty representatives, but it certainly is something that is kind of the status quo just in general. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go on. This is the final section here of this hit piece from Granite State Matters entitled Luring People to New Hampshire, Drugs, Crypto, Sex, and then in quotes, Freedom. Now, more Free State Project activity takes place under wraps. FSP member Kevin Haley recruits new movers, helps manage events, and works in, quote, anonymous digital activism, unquote. But on his FSP Discord channel, Haley makes no secret of the fact that he censors any negativity around moving to New Hampshire or the Free State Project. By the way, Kevin is a native of New Hampshire, okay? So I don't know if he's joined the Free State Project. He's active with the Free State Project, but... You know,
a friend of the Free State.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's
generally traditionally how you would have.
Right, I think they let anyone in New Hampshire join, but did he move here? No, he's a native. He's a liberty-loving native who really loves the Free State Project so much he volunteers for them on a regular basis.
I think some of the points I would make against people who are like, oh, you're just taking over the state. I would argue that some of our best activists are actually not Free State Project participants. They're just friends of the Free State because they could not move because they already lived here.
They are the best because they already know everybody and they've got a network that's just done that. It doesn't compare to those of us who moved here.
And it's interesting because, like, when the Free State Project, and you can correct me if I get this a little bit wrong, but when the Free State Project decided on New Hampshire, the governor actually welcomed the Free State Project to move here.
Yeah.
Or the participants, I guess, which I thought was entertaining.
So then they give, an excerpt from the terms of service of the Free State Project Discord server. And one, the purpose of this server is to increase the number of liberty lovers who move to New Hampshire. Therefore, anything that is not conducive to that goal or is hostile to that goal is not welcome. Hello? Isn't that exactly what the Democrats do when they're having their anti-Free State Project meetings? They try to keep people out who want to tell the truth about the Free State Project. It's their server. They can totally set these rules. In the same way, Chris, you run a few chat rooms here and there, and I've seen you tell people, hey, look, you got to stay on topic. Yep. If we're here to talk about cryptocurrency, then keep it to cryptocurrency. If we're here to talk about ForkFest, let's keep it to ForkFest. I mean, you let it slide on occasion, but you know, you got to kind of keep people to the rules, or these things will go off the rails.
Yeah, and
you know,
we've definitely tried to. I don't like the idea of like kicking and banning people, but try to persuade people, hey, check out this other room and have your conversation there, because there's definitely some conversations that are just better suited for like a different room or a general room, as opposed to a room that's more focused on a particular issue. So it's what, you know, back in the day, there was something called IRC, Internet Relay Chat, and it used to be something to the effect of, okay, you're off topic. It's literally what they called it, off topic.
And so this is pretty common for chat rooms, and they're acting like, the Free Staters are really cracking down. And then they cite rule number 4, which says, even if you don't explicitly break these rules, if you harsh the vibes in the server, you may not be a good fit. Again, it's their server. They can run how they want. On our server, over at our Matrix server at chat.freetalklive.com, so we can get the instructions on how to join it, you can start your own room if you don't like the way somebody is moderating their room.
And people do.
Yeah, there was, in fact, a cryptocurrency room for New Hampshire
all the time
that just got created that's competing with the other cryptocurrency room. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Hour 3 is next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.